Yes, I think we get lulled into a false sense of security in the summer, don't we, really? And then winter comes, and one of the most obvious things is you get the short days. So if you're going to work and back, you're quite often driving in the dark.
Yes, which is a bit miserable in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So one of the important things is to see and be seen, basically. So make sure that your windows are clean. Inside and out, basically. It's quite interesting. Over the summer, you tend to get a build-up of traffic film inside the windows. And what I noticed this morning, it's coming down the A14 into Cambridge. The sun, you know, you're driving into the east, and the sun's right in front of you. And if your windscreen's dirty, you can't see.
Yeah. So it's worth actually, getting a sponge out and giving it a quick once-over?
Yeah, give it a clean. Clean the inside. It's one of the things I often notice people do the outside and forget to do the inside. So make sure you do that, basically. And when you've got low light like that, you might even consider wearing sunglasses. When the sun, you don't think about it in the winter, do you?
Yes.
But, with the sun shining at you, that can be an issue.
And I guess the other thing is always making sure you've got your headlights and your brake lights and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And the bulbs are actually working.
Good
which is
idea.
The other thing,
good
isn't
point.
It?
Make sure you've checked your vehicle. And quite a lot of garages actually do winter checks now. In fact, mine does one for about £20, and you get antifreeze and cleaner and bits with it. So it's well worthwhile getting that done.
Mm.
And make sure your tyres are okay too, basically.
So is it to do with the amount of air in the tyres as well?
Well, tyre pressures, but tread depth, general condition, basically. You know, you can get away with tyres that are getting quite low in the summer. And the legal limit is 1.6 millimetres, but in actual fact, when you get poor conditions, anything below 3 millimetres can be a problem. So I tend to change my tyres when they get down to 3.
Ah, and linked to that, some people change, I've heard, into winter tyres and summer tyres and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
is that something you recommend?
I do that, actually. It depends on the car to something. Some cars tend to have wide tyres and they look great and they're fine in the summer. And they're really not so good in the winter. So quite expensive, but worth doing if you can. But the other thing is basically making sure, just like you did this morning, that you scrape the ice off in the morning. Allow a bit of extra time, you know, when you're going off to work.
Mm, that's it, isn't it?
On a deadline.
It's that nightmare when you've already left 5 minutes late and then you realise that you've got to scrape the car as well.
That's it. And you see people rushing out. They get straight in the car, they scrape a little bit and then down the road and they can't see what they're doing. Really dangerous. So make sure you clear the windscreen, clear the windows all round, and have your demister on, basically, to make sure that you're really clear. The other thing that happens in the winter, of course, so we're probably going to get that in the next few days, is rain.
Mm.
And you get problems. When the A14 is actually moving, which is not very often, but you can get a lot of spray coming up from cars, and you really want to make sure when you've got that situation that you're increasing your stopping distance, the amount of space that you leave between you and the car in front. In the dry, you should allow about 2 seconds, what we call the 2 second gap. But in the rain, you probably ought to double that up to 4 seconds, just to allow for something going wrong and the potential for a skid.
Mm.
Of course, the other thing is when it starts getting really cold, and you've got we don't tend to get much snow in Cambridge, but when we get it, it's a complete disaster, and
yes.
Nobody remembers how to make it.
So, what are your tips if we're driving in snowy or icy conditions? What should we think about?
Well, first thing is, again, clear your windscreens and clear, if you've got snow on the roof, clear it off, because you often see cars going down the road with snow flying back and hitting the cars.
Ah,
behind.
Yes, so it actually causes problems for cars behind you.
Absolutely.
Ah, yeah.
Absolutely. But generally speaking, in ice and snow, the important thing is to make sure that you, again, allow extra distance. In fact, if it's really icy, we actually say allow a 10-second gap. People always forget that when we get snow, and I don't remember anything happening last year, so we're probably due some this winter.
Mm.
And when it happens, people are completely caught out because they keep driving the way they used to in the summer, and then something stops, they can't stop.
Yeah.
So the things that you need to avoid to make sure you don't skid, the things that can cause a skid, are basically harsh braking, harsh acceleration, and harsh steering. If you drive smoothly and delicately, more gently on the brakes and gently off it, and same with the accelerator and steering, to avoid the situation of being in a skid. And I think the other thing is, if the weather's really bad, think about whether you even need to go.
Yes, that is the big question, isn't it? Yeah. Is this journey essential? Can I make it a different way?
Exactly, exactly. And I've been caught out a few years ago. I was on the M11 when it snowed up completely, and I spent 18 hours stuck in the snow.
Oh, so that links to my next question. Should we have some kind of survival pack in the car with us?
I always do that. I think having had that experience...
that colours your mind after that, doesn't it?
I was on business, and so I had a suit and a business shoes, and I have to tell you, in 18 hours you have to get out the car at some point.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I always make sure I have in the winter is to have a blanket, have some water, and have an energy bar or some chocolate or something like that, because you never know if you might get stuck.
Mm.
And the other, it's unlikely you're going to get in this situation, but it can happen occasionally, and you could get stuck. And it's really important that you keep warm. So if you do get stuck like that, what I recommend you do is that you run the engine for about 15 minutes every hour. People worry about that using the fuel up, but in actual fact, you'll hardly use any fuel if you do that.
Well, just keep the heating on.
It'll keep the engine warm.
Yep.
It'll keep you warm, and it'll keep the batteries charged.
Mm.
So that's an extreme situation, but you never know. It has happened to us in Cambridge.
Snow shovels or anything like that? I guess we're not really that extreme here, are we?
Well, yeah.
But you never know.
I must admit, if it does look like snow, I do put a snow shovel in the back of the car.
Yeah.
Nothing worse. I have been stuck many years ago, and it's nothing worse than being stuck without the equipment.
No. A friend of mine keeps an old copy of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen in the back of her car, which she says is for those sorts of moments, you know, when you're stuck, you've broken down, you're stuck in the snow, and you need something to entertain you for 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's her sort of go-to book, which I quite like that as an
idea. Have something there.
Have something there. Now, tell us about the Institute of Advanced Motorists. This is a national organisation, is it, Bob?
Yes. The Institute of Advanced Motorists are now calling themselves IAM's Road Smart. It's a charity, and Cambridge Advanced Motorists is affiliated to the IAM. We've got about 92,000 members across the whole country.
Yep.
But basically, we're all volunteers, and a number of us are trained as what we call observers. So we are trained to teach the principles of advanced driving. And it's all based on what's called the police system of car control. And it's a way of dealing with hazards, which is shown to be a safe way to drive. It costs you £149 to buy what we call the Skill for Life. And that's all you pay. It doesn't matter how many lessons you get, because we're volunteers. If you need lots of lessons, it won't cost you any more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we would teach you up to test standard, and then you would take a test, if you want to, with an examiner, who's usually a serving or retired police driver. So... that's very satisfying to get that.
So what inspired you to get involved in doing that then? Because it's one thing to, as I'm sure we all do, mutter under our breath from time to time when we see something a bit dodgy on the road. But it's another thing to go and join the organisation.
Well, I used to work in high-tech electronics in Cambridge. It meant I did a lot of travel all around the world, basically. And I did a lot of driving as well. I was driving about 30,000 miles a year for 10 years or so. And... during that time, I saw an awful lot of accidents, including some very, very, very nasty ones.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Maybe there's something I should do to try and improve my chances. So I applied to the Cambridge Group, did my training, and took the test. Very satisfying to do, and a lot of fun as well. And having done it, the examiner actually said, would you like to think about training as an observer? And, I thought that's a nice idea, but I left it for a couple of years or so. And then after a while, I thought, yeah, maybe I will give it a go.
Hmm.
So I was trained by the senior observer in the group, learnt to become an observer, and then you get the tremendous satisfaction of teaching other people to do it and get them through their test.
Yeah, which must be great, because you know that you're actually making a real difference to helping someone else drive better.
Yes, well, we hope we've all done our bit to try and reduce the pain and the traumas of road accidents, basically.
Okay,
and
then.
It's fun.
So if we want to find out more, Bob, what should we do?
You can either look at our website, which is www.caiam.org.uk, or just Google IAM Road Smart and go on the main site. And if you want to join up, you can join up on the main site or our site, and you'd get routed through to us, and we'd allocate you an observer in the Cambridge area.
Super. Well, I think this is a very timely conversation we've had, and I will put all of those tips in my brain and store them, hopefully, for the next time we get some snow and some ice.